This is WBAA. I'm Greg Kostraba. Cellist Yo-Yo Ma teams up with pianist Catherine Stott for a sold-out performance at Loeb Playhouse Sunday afternoon at 3. The program includes works by Stravinsky, Faya, and other 20th-century composers, along with an arrangement of Johannes Brahms' Third Violin Sonata. I asked Yo-Yo in a telephone interview why he included the Brahms on the program.
Because it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And Brahms actually sometimes works well played an octave lower. The richness of the music, it even adds to it a little bit more. What's interesting is that Brahms does kind of take us into the 20th century because, on the one hand, Brahms was a great supporter of Dvorak and encouraged him. And Dvorak then came to the United States and taught at the National Conservatory for a couple of years. And his students actually taught Gershwin, Copland, and Duke Ellington. So that lineage actually is much closer than we think. And in fact, Schoenberg kind of thought he was this pioneer.
Now, I had a question from my 10-year-old daughter, who's a cellist.
Okay. Oh, great.
She was wondering why you picked up the cello. And then we saw in your bio that it was your father who taught you cello. Is that right?
Well, my father was a musician, a composer, and he taught me, but I had a French cello teacher who started me off on the cello. She was great. She was a great lady. I still see her when I go to Paris. The reason I started cello was when I was 4, I saw double bass, and I decided that I wanted to play the double bass because it was like the biggest instrument.
Is there like a quarter-size double bass or a 16th size that one those 4-year-old can start on?
I think at that time, probably not. But there was a 16th size cello that I started on. Okay. It was the biggest that we could lay hands on, the biggest instrument.
Was there ever a time when you thought you didn't want to play the cello anymore?
Because I started so young, at the time when people make decisions like, oh, I want to be this or I want to be that, I was already doing something that I really loved doing, but I kept asking myself, what would I have done if I had not had this thing? I just did for as long as I could remember. And being the slow learner that I am, it was not until I was about 49 that I came to the conclusion that most things I was interested in had to do with figuring out people, how they thought, why they did what they did, what motivated them, which is, of course, the exact thing that, you know, as a musician, I ask about every piece of music, which is who wrote it and why. What were the circumstances? What made them want to commit, you know, weeks, months to pencil and paper? What are they trying to tell us? So it's a fascinating question, but all my interests, you know, in anthropology and archaeology or in neuroscience or, you know, teaching and social things, it had to do with people. And then at 49, ding, you know, the light went on and said, actually, I can do all of this kind of investigation through music. I finally put two and two together and got like a happy answer that, okay, I'm fine being a musician.
Let me turn that question around just a touch, because you do so many different musical genres. The new Silk Road album is out and the Goat Rodeo sessions and all, but you keep coming back to playing with Catherine Stott. What is it about her playing that attracts you to want to play with her?
Well, I think we're kindred spirits in a number of ways. She's traveled to more places more extensively than I have because she's just so curious about the world. She follows her interests and heart. We did a tango album together in Piazzolla, and then we did a Brazilian album, and all that really affected us deeply. She started taking Spanish lessons, and after having taken Italian lessons, it's affected her worldview. And similarly with me, that's the same thing. You know, whether it's the Silk Road or going to Namibia in my 30s to do a documentary on the Bushmen, it just made foreign parts that were kind of a little scary or different, familiar and desirable places and places that I want to go to and to be part of my life.
Now, on this program at Purdue, November 17th at 3, you do have three pieces from Latin America with Villa-Lobos and Piazzolla and Camargo Guarnieri. But before that, to start the program, you're playing the Suite Italienne by Stravinsky, another piece for violin that's been arranged. I don't know if the composer arranged it for cello or not.
Well, actually, Piatigorsky has a good story about that. So in his, autobiography, Cellist, he says he wanted Stravinsky to arrange the Suite Italienne for cello and piano. And Stravinsky said, why don't you do it? So Piatigorsky did it, and Stravinsky said to him, good, we'll split the royalties on that. Piatigorsky says, no, come on, it was such an honor for me to do this with you. I don't want, royalties. This is your composition. You take it. He says, and Stravinsky looked at him without batting an eye, said, let me explain to you what I mean by splitting it. As composer, I get 90% of the royalties, and the remaining 10% for the transcribing, we split 50-50. You get 5%. I get 5%. And Piatigorsky says, I agreed, having great admiration for his business acumen. So the answer is, with the composer's approval, with Piatigorsky doing it, and that there was a great business deal was had by Stravinsky.
And great additional repertoire for cellists, too, because that
yes.
is fabulous, fabulous music.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. It's so much fun.
You've got Latin American pieces, as we mentioned, and then you have, right after that, some Spanish dances by De Falla. There's a Spanish pianist named Pedro Carbonet, who talks about the differences between Latin American music and Spanish music. Do you have any thoughts on what you find different between those two? Because they're back-to-back, so they're bound to be differences.
What is interesting about Spanish music is Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all resided in a tolerant pre-1492 Spain. So Spain really has, with its proximity to Africa, it's a different combination of hybrid cultures that produces Spanish music. The Moorish, the Catholic culture of the European culture, the Roma culture, when it arrived in Spain, that's when you get flamenco. In Latin America, first of all, you have Native American cultures mixed with European and African cultures. So all of Latin America has those features in it. Each part of Latin America has a different feel to it. As Paquito de Rivera would say, in Cuba, the Africans went up in the mountains and the Europeans were closer to the ocean. Brazil, depending where you are, that is much, much more African. And then obviously in places like Peru, Colombia, you have, the Andean culture. You have the Quechua language. I think Spain has just a different combination, probably adding the Roma influence. So it's really fascinating.
One last piece we haven't talked about on the program comes from the Quartet for the End of Time by Olivier Messiaen. That's just a totally different world. How do you describe it to people?
Like Bach, this is music of faith. He was deeply, deeply Catholic. And that piece tries to describe all the ways that you could describe infinity, the divinity of infinity. Hey, how do you like that?
Nice.
The divinity of infinity versus its secular counterpart, the hybridity of identity. Divinity of infinity. I like that. This could be a new arts and sciences term.
Oh, it could, yeah.
How do arts and sciences, religion and science meet? Well, they meet at the divinity of infinity. You heard it first at WBAA. Look, I'll just say one more thing. So, there's one movement. It's not the movement we're playing, but it is one of the movements in the quartet. I did this at a children's concert. It talks about thousands of rainbows in the sky. I asked these kids, says, you know, who's seen a rainbow? And so, yeah, people raise their hands. Has anybody seen two rainbows? You know, maybe one kid raised their hand. And who's seen like 10,000 rainbows? Nobody raised their hands. And says, okay, this is a piece that talks about thousands of rainbows in the sky. Can you imagine what that's like? And this is how that music describes it. It's fabulous. Kids then start to imagine this thing. But that's what it is. For a person who is deeply Catholic and believes in the infinitude of God's love, you know, it's like, how do you write a piece of music? How do you construct it so that you can feel the infinite distance between the human thought and yearning with the divine? You know, the piano plays these slow, deep chords, and then you have a melodic line in the cello part. And every once in a while, there is a descent of a third. So, E major chord. And when you hear both in the melodic line and the E major chords, it's like the moment of light, of love. Suddenly, the room fills with warmth. And you can see he's deliberately constructing something through that code. And it's amazing. It's like a wormhole, and you get into a different space. So, yes, it is different from all the other pieces because its inspiration is different. For Stravinsky, it's theater. And Villa-Lobos, it's about its location, human location and human nature. And Messiaen, it's the divinity part of it.
And the program concludes with an arrangement of the Third Violin Sonata by Johannes Brahms. Cellist Yo-Yo Ma and pianist Catherine Stott in a sold-out performance at Loeb Playhouse, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I'm Greg Kustraba.